What's up, divers? Welcome into the Deep Dive Fantasy Football Podcast, where I take a deep analytical look at fantasy football and combine it with a common sense approach to lead us to some titles. I'm your host, Brandon Gabor, and before we get started, remember you can follow me on my main platform being Twitter at DeepDiveFF or on Instagram at DeepDiveFantasyFootball. With that being said, let's get to the content. What is up, divers? Welcome into another episode of Deep Dive Fantasy Football. Today, I am coming at you with five guys you should be buying, all right? Not the five guys you go get a burger and fries, no. This is the best buys on the market. Guys, I think that are severely undervalued, and I implore you to consider buying while the market is hot for these rookie picks. This is peak value right now for rookie picks. So it's a great time to sell them for some veterans. So let's talk about five guys that you should be buying. And the first one that we're going to talk about today is Michael Wilson. Now, when we're looking at Michael Wilson and the Cardinals threw the ball. First off, let's look at the Cardinals as a whole, right? They threw the ball 54% of the time last year. In 2023, they threw the ball 60% of the time. So if we're looking at both years, it stands to figure that they may come up in their pass attempts. So if we see any change at all, the Cardinals will throw more next year. So that's number one. There will be more passing volume available for the Cardinals, or at least in terms of pass rate. Now, the Cardinals also only threw the ball to wide receivers 49.91% of the time, courtesy of my deep dive sheets. This is the second lowest mark in the NFC. 49.91% of their targets went to wide receivers. That's very bad. The NFL average is about, if I remember off the top of my head, but it is in the sheets, is about 60-something percent, like 61%. So that's obviously something that can probably change and will change for the better as well. So we've got more targets and more targets going to the wide receiver position. Now, the driving factor of target share changes is personnel. So, an example, when people say there's 100 targets available because of player A and player B leaving, they're discounting two things by saying that. One thing that they're discounting is that volume changes. We should be talking about target shares, not targets. And two, that the way a team targets positions change year to year. So what if the Cardinals draft a wide receiver? Brandon, you're telling us to go buy Michael Wilson before the draft with these rookie picks. But if they draft Marvin Harrison, then you know our stock is going down. So here's the thing, right? One, first off, rookie drafts don't happen immediately after the NFL draft, so you have some time. And if they take Marvin Harrison, and by the way, by the time you're listening to this, it's going to be like a day, not one day, maybe like 2 or 3 days out from the NFL draft. And if you buy Michael Wilson after they draft Marvin Harrison for an even lower price, good on you. But the tricky thing is if the Cardinals happen to trade back and don't get Marvin Harrison, then all of a sudden, Michael Wilson's going to be a hot commodity in the fantasy community. So this is your chance to buy him with everyone fully convinced that they're taking a wide receiver. And are we ever really completely right when we're thinking about what a team is drafting, especially when they're not at number one overall? We're pretty good as a community at saying, oh yeah, number one overall is this player. After that, a lot of times, it's a crapshoot. So we got to be careful with that. It's a dangerous game to play. But going back to Michael Wilson, right, the thing that you want to do, Cardinals draft a wide receiver, all right? Well, guess what? They're going to target more if they draft a wide receiver. Obviously, the wide receiver position. And they were actually fifth most in wide receiver targets in 2022 in the NFC. So it's showing you that, you know, last year was kind of off key. That's not what they're used to. They usually like to throw the ball a lot to their wide receivers and like to throw the ball a lot in general. And that was not the case last year. So even if they did draft a wide receiver, kind of just brings them closer to that. Marquise Brown and Rondale Moore are both gone. Michael Wilson is the best wide receiver on the roster right now by far. He will be at worst the number 3 target in this offense At worst, he is currently being priced as if the Cardinals take Neighbors or Marvin Harrison Jr., so the only thing available to you is upside. If you buy him now and they draft Neighbors or Harrison, you didn't lose any value. His value is not going to get lower. Everybody's already building that into his value right now. The only thing that you could do is risk his value going up, and then it's too late to buy. So this is why you need to capitalize on this now, in my opinion. People are also underrating the impact for fantasy that he could have as the number two wide receiver in this offense. Michael Wilson's floor is about 16% of the targets. His upside, about 25%. That ranges from 90 targets to 135 in the offense that we're expecting, that I'm expecting for the Cardinals to have this year. Anything in that range, from the 16% of the targets to 25%, obviously, anything in that range will make him more valuable than his wide receiver 60 price right now in Dynasty Fantasy Football. Wide receiver 60. Let's think about what Michael Wilson was. He was a highly graded collegiate prospect that fell in the draft, in the NFL draft, due to injury history, right? Last year, he played healthy. And like DK Metcalf, another guy who fell in the draft because of injury history, maybe his injuries are behind him. In limited opportunity last year, he produced well as a rookie. He had an elite 9.75 yards per target. That is higher, 9.75 yards per target. That is higher than Puka Nacua and just about every other wide receiver, not just among the rookies, but in the entire league. That is a great number to have. Puka Nacua, of the rookie wide receivers that had over 800 receiving yards, had the highest yards per target. Him and Rashee Rice. Well, guess who had more than that? Michael Wilson. And yeah, he didn't have as much targets, so he doesn't fall into that sample for qualification purposes, but it's just showing you what he can do. He finished the fantasy season with two in a row 15 plus point fantasy games. If you want the highlight tape, because maybe you've never seen him, right? Maybe you're like, who is this Michael Wilson guy? Who is Brendan ranting about? Go to my Twitter. There is a nice little 2.5 minute highlight reel that somebody cut up and put together of his rookie season. And you'll be able to just see from that that this is a guy worth taking a shot on. He is, and I was very high on him last year as a rookie. He was one of my most drafted, most touted, most suggested rookie wide receivers to take at value in rookie drafts last year. And I still feel strongly that that was a good choice. He is my dynasty wide receiver 43 right now, with the assumption that the Cardinals take a wide receiver. If they do not, oh boy, it's wheels up. It is wheels up for Michael Wilson if they don't. If they trade down, grab more assets, maybe get a tackle or something like that. Oh boy, let me tell you. So that's number one. That's our first guy. Number two, Zach Charbonnet. Now, for Michael Wilson, it was about his talent. It was about what people are expecting or not expecting, right? For Zach Charbonnet, to me, it's about the ambiguity of the coaching situation. So let's discuss the state of the Seahawks. They are a team with a completely new coaching staff with no ties to any drafted prospects. They're coming into this team to mold it and make it their own. They don't care about who was drafted over who. They care about who's best, because their job as coaches is to win football games. Kenneth Walker versus Zach Charbonnet is something that they see, in my eyes, as a legit camp battle. Both are second round picks. They have completely different play styles, and the opportunity to become the starter for Zach Charbonnet is just as real as it is for Kenneth Walker. Now let's look at Baltimore, right? Because that's where a lot of the decisions are going to be based out of, right? The head coach, he's from Baltimore. Now, is he a defensive guy? Yeah. But I can imagine from a very successful team in Baltimore, he's going to kind of bring some of those ideas over. So when we're looking at what the Ravens did, right? They ran the ball 52% of the time the past 2 years, opposed to Seattle running the ball 39% and 41% of the time. And even if you account for Lamar Jackson and that the staff still might want to run more than Seattle did last year, or we want to account for those things, I should say, because Mike McDonald is coming from that. He's seen that, right? And if he improves the defense, an improved defense allows you to control the clock more. It allows you to run the ball more, right? So even if you just consider, oh, well, the Ravens ran that much because of Lamar. Take him out. It doesn't matter. They still, even without Lamar, ran the ball more than Seattle did. And I think that's something that could change in Seattle this upcoming season. Now let's discuss the history of their coaching staff, right? Their head coach is coming from Baltimore, where defense, tough football, tough run game, and taking positive gains are emphasized. What is the mindset of the team he wants to build, right? Tough nose football, old school football, run the ball, take positive gains, stuff like that, right? That is what Zach Charbonnet embodies. The run game that they schemed was one that opened massive holes that a back with good vision takes without hesitation and pushes forward. Dancing in the backfield was not a thing that we saw in Baltimore, unless you're talking about Lamar Jackson, but that's for different reasons. They also showed to value in Baltimore running backs of all sizes and were successful with them, from Gus Bus to little Keaton Mitchell, right? So it's not really about the size or anything like that. It's more about the play style. How do you play? And what did all the backs have in common in Baltimore? They all had vision, right? So let's compare Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet, right? That's basically what this is boiling down to. Let's talk about age. Zach Charbonnet is 23.2 years old. Kenneth Walker is 23.4 years old. Mark it off as the same. Zach Charbonnet, Kenneth Walker, both drafted in the second round. Mark it off as the same. Kenneth Walker, Zach Charbonnet, 211, 214 pounds. Mark it off as the same. Their breakaway run weight, run rate, 4.6% for both of them. Mark it off as the same. So basically, so far, we're looking at it's dead even. Now, let's talk about stuffed runs. How often did they not gain yards? Stuffed run rate for Zach Charbonnet, you want a low number. Lower number is better. 16.7%. Kenneth Walker, 21%. Yards created per touch. Zach Charbonnet, 4.8. Kenneth Walker, 4.7. It's basically the same, but I bet you would not expect Charbonnet to have the lead on yards per created. You would think it's Walker, the shifty, nifty, fast, explosive, big home run threat, right? No, it was Charbonnet. True yards per carry, 4.2 for Zach Charbonnet, 3.9 for Kenneth Walker. Charbonnet has a 50-50 shot at being the starter, and he is being priced nowhere near what that would indicate. If he had a 50-50 shot, which he does, and everybody understood and realized that, him and Walker would be on top of each other in draft rankings, but they're not. Now, when I'm looking at Charbonnet, what is his play style? He has better vision than Kenneth Walker. He takes less negative plays than Kenneth Walker, and he gives you positive yardage more consistently to move the chains. That is what I view this coaching staff liking. And you see it in the stats, but you also see it if you just watch. Just watch. He passes the eye test, right? So does Kenneth Walker, but for different reasons. If you watch them, you can understand how a coaching staff could possibly get frustrated with a Kenneth Walker. Drives might die because Kenneth Walker, instead of taking the 3 yards, 4 yards to make it third and short, second and manageable, he's making it second and 10 because he's dancing around and gets nothing. Or third and long because he got nothing. So that's something that can frustrate a coaching staff. Charbonnet is not the guy to do that. He's not going to dance around and get caught in the backfield. He's going to take the ball, take the rock, find the first lane, and go and push forward. So priced at running back 30 right now, he's a good value at a thin dynasty position, and he is my RB23 with upside for more. Let's talk about my third guy, Jahan Dotson. First off, Curtis Samuel is gone. The annoying, pesky, very good, underrated wide receiver, Curtis Samuel. We'll see what he does in Buffalo. He's gone. Austin Eckler will fill probably the Antonio Gibson receiving role. And, you know, he'll take more carries than Gibson. But I do expect him to kind of be in the similar range that Gibson was as a receiver and take a little bit off of Brian Robinson's plate on top of that. The Commanders, they spread out their targets more than most offenses. Logan Thomas is gone also, and Zach Ertz is here to replace him. So really, when you're kind of just trying to boil it down, basically right now the Commanders, the only big change is Curtis Samuel is gone in terms of the receiving weapons, because Gibson was replaced, and Logan Thomas was replaced. Curtis Samuel has not been replaced. They didn't bring in another wide receiver. Now, when we're looking at what the Commanders did, they spread out their targets more than most offenses in the league last year. Now, sometimes it's hard to tell. Is this team doing what they're doing because of the quarterback or because of the coach? But guess what? When we're looking at the Commanders, both of them are gone. Sam Howell's gone, and so is the offensive coordinator, Eric Bieniemy. So is Ron Rivera, who is the head coach. Everybody's gone. So when we're looking at Jahan Dotson, as a rookie, in his healthy games, when he played 60% of the snaps or more, Jahan Dotson had 21% of the targets. Listen to this next part. This year, Jahan Dotson, who had a promising rookie campaign, you would think his role would grow. He had 13% of the targets this year. 13% from 21% as a rookie. New quarterback. Offensive coordinator is going to be different. Everything is different. They're not going to spread the ball around to 8 different people. Curtis Samuel, Logan Thomas, Terry McLaurin. Terry McLaurin's always going to get his. Jahan Dotson, Antonio Gibson, threw the ball to Brian Robinson, threw the ball to secondary tight ends at times, threw the ball to wide receiver 4s and 5s. That's not going to happen. That's not a common occurrence for NFL offenses unless it's because of injury, right? He's a good route runner. We know this from Reception Perception. Matt Harmon, thank you for your hard work, brother. We know that he's a good route runner. It's an all-green chart. He's got strong hands, and he showed to be a viable red zone threat when he was a rookie. He didn't get much chances last year. So with all of the change, it's going to serve him well. Jahan Dotson's somebody you should be targeting. Baker Mayfield. This is not even going to be me. Like for these past guys, it's been, some stats, some reasons they could take over, stuff like that. It's not even about that for Mayfield. He is what you think he is, but for some reason, people don't know how to value it. I'm telling you how to value it. It's starting to look like he's going to be a competent starter in this league for a long time and a middling quarterback too for a long time. He's not going to give you crazy upside, but for his price, he is a great buy. I'll give you a trade that I did recently. I sold Tank Dell. This was before the Stephon Diggs trade, so it worked out even more in my favor, but I thought it was a good trade to begin with. I sold Tank Dell in a late third, very late third, for Baker Mayfield and a 202 in a Superflex league. Now, I value Tank Dell by himself somewhat close to the 202, right? So I basically got Baker for a late third. That's crazy. That's craziness. Now, you can buy Baker in most leagues for a mid-second, probably a late second. That's a great value. People, and this is the time, going back to what I first started talking about when I was talking about Michael Wilson and how these picks are at a premium. If you think about fantasy football like a stock market, the stock is peaking for draft picks. So you're not ever going to get more value than you are right now for them, right? I would argue you actually get more value out of them before the NFL draft, because the NFL draft inevitably ruins so many prospects that people like when it comes to landing spot. When people are looking right now, I'll just put it in the context of me, right? Let's talk about me. I love me some Ricky Pearsall. I love me some Adonai Mitchell. I love me some sleepers, Luke McCaffrey, Brendan Rice. Well, guess what? That means that I'm liking these four guys, and that makes my pick range, what I think in my mind of guys that I would love to draft, get extended further. It makes those later picks more valuable. Then the NFL draft hits, and let's say Adonai Mitchell goes not in the first round, but the back of the second round, and he goes to the Titans, sitting behind Hopkins and Calvin Ridley, and who knows what happens with Treylon Burks, right? And Chigo Conquo's there, and they've got two receiving running backs there. Well, I'm not going to be excited about Adonai Mitchell anymore. That's one player that I was excited for, one draft slot I was excited for that I'm not. Let's say Ricky Pearsall goes to, let's say he goes to the Colts. Well, he's not going to be a super high volume guy there because they are going to pass the ball a lot less with Anthony Richardson. They've already got Michael Pittman. They've got Josh Downs. That's not great, right? I'll be a lot less excited about Ricky Pearsall. It's the same thing, right? For any prospect, for every person who has their guys that they like, when those draft slots ruin what people were hoping and dreaming for their guys, the draft stock is going to start going down. So now is the peak. Now is the best time to sell. And you can sell a mid-second, a late-second. Almost forgot we were talking about Baker, getting lost in that conversation. But you could sell those for Baker right now, which is a great value. People undervalue the stable and consistent lower-end quarterbacks in Dynasty. Think about Jared Goff, right? But they're vital to sustained success. You can't just always swing for, especially at quarterback, for the high potential guys, because that's really volatile and you're paying premiums for these quarterbacks. You need to be able to pay a lower cost for a guy you know is going to get you 18 points, or you know is going to get you every week 15 points. Or even if it's not a week to week thing, you know he's going to have a 10-year career of averaging as a quarterback too in fantasy. That stuff is valuable. And a one shot in the second round of a rookie draft that you may or may not hit, statistics say you probably got a 50-50 chance of that guy even being a starter in your lineup over the next 3-4 years for any year individually. Yeah, go take the Baker Mayfield, right? That's a great value. And then the last guy that we're going to talk about is Diontae Johnson. Diontae Johnson is exactly what Bryce Young needs, a separator. It's the one thing, sorry, let me correct myself. There were many things that the Carolina Panthers did not have, but it is the one thing they needed most, and that was a separator. The Panthers wide receiver group charted out as the worst in separation last year in the NFL. The best separator on their team was a 33-year-old Adam Thielen, who was not even a great athlete at any point in his career. Not super twitchy, not super fast, nothing to make you be like, oh, that's an amazing separator. And he was 33 years old and the best one on the team last year. That is abysmal. And being that, as of right now, Diontae Johnson is the man and the only offensive addition this new staff has acquired so far, expect him to dominate targets. Even if they draft wide receiver, there's only two wide receivers that they could draft that would make me feel like this ended up being a bad take for Diontae Johnson. That's if they draft Ladd McConkey or Ricky Pearsall. Those are two guys that profile as really high volume, really safe prospects that can compete in the same areas of the field as Diontae Johnson, right? And could possibly hurt him. Outside of those very specific two wide receivers, I don't really see Diontae Johnson getting hurt by them drafting wide receiver. I expect them to take one. I don't think they'll take one of those two, but I expect them to take one. And when we're looking at Diontae Johnson, right? Also, if they take somebody else to help him out, it's going to make the offense better. It's going to add another threat to let him be more efficient. It raises his touchdown upside because the offense is scoring more touchdowns. And in a very likely, looking at the coaching history, looking at what Bryce Young's probably going to do, their pace of play, stuff like that, right? Dave Canales coming from my Bucks. I'm expecting them to be in that 575-600 pass attempt range. Diontae Johnson should be safe for about 25% targets. That's going to be 143 to 153 targets. It's something he's gotten a lot in Pittsburgh, and it's hard to not produce with 143 to 150 targets, right? In the Steelers offenses where he had similar targets like that, which, by the way, those Steelers offenses he's coming from are probably going to be worse than what Carolina has coming this year with Dave Canales in the building, helping create an offense that's good for Bryce Young because he knows how to develop these quarterbacks, how to get these quarterbacks better. Geno Smith, a guy who's had years and years and years of bad habits, he helped him have a career year. And not just a career year, but a very good year. Same with Baker Mayfield. So how do you think he's going to be able to mold and form a guy who has only been in the league for a year? He hasn't built these calluses of bad habits over 5 years, right? He's much easier to mold, much quicker to learn. He's heralded as this super smart guy between the ears in Bryce Young. So I believe that this offense will be better than what the Steelers have put out on the field the last 3 years. And that's where Diontae Johnson's coming from. So if you're giving him a similar target share and probably what's going to be a little bit better of an offense, let's look at what he did for Pittsburgh. He finished as wide receiver 21, wide receiver 8, wide receiver 30. He is being valued as wide receiver 43. Wide receiver 43. He still has 3 to 4 good years left. The type of player he is, the type of role he plays, and his age, he's got 3 to 4 years left of good, consistent production. And he's got a quarterback who will hit him and read him open and hit him if he's open. He just needs to separate, which we know he's a very good separator. So that's Deontay Johnson. He's being extremely undervalued as well. Those are five guys you should go buy right now before it's too late, because you'll have some time. Look, you'll have some time with Deontay Johnson, right? And if they draft a wide receiver, let's say, you know, Xavier Leggett or something like that, that's not going to hurt Deontay Johnson, right? They draft Xavier Worthy. That's definitely not going to hurt Deontay Johnson. That's going to help him because it's going to open up the threat of the deep ball to the defense. Xavier Worthy is never going to be a high volume guy, right? And all of a sudden, Deontay Johnson could be getting even easier targets with more cushion. If they get like a Troy Franklin, same thing as Xavier Worthy. There's not that many people, not that many wide receivers in this class where I would be really scared for Deontay. So you might have time, because this would be one of the situations where while your pick value might go down, Deontay Johnson's value might go down even more than the pick value does after the NFL draft when they take somebody probably high. But Baker Mayfield, go buy him well with your high pick value right now. Same with Jahan Dotson. People are going to be like, oh, the Commanders just drafted X quarterback. Wow, that offense is going to be so much better. People are already expecting that, but that's not reflective in the value of Jahan Dotson or Terry McLaurin. Actually, I just did a dynasty draft, and I was just eyeing McLaurin. I was just waiting. I got sniped. I already had four really good young wide receivers, so it's fine. But anyways, with that said, you know, go grab these guys. Michael Wilson, for sure. Zach Charbonnet, yes, please. Give me some of that. Because think about it, too. Charbonnet, if he starts getting some buzz, and then people start thinking about the things we just talked about on this podcast, thinking about, oh, it's a new coaching staff. Oh, they don't like negative plays. Zach Charbonnet has better vision. He doesn't take negative plays. Oh, he's like the same age, the same size, and has the same draft pedigree. Oh, wait, there's not really that big of a difference in anything other than play style between him and Kenneth Walker. And what if they like his play style better? Oh, and his His price, his dynasty stock just starts rising. Some videos start coming out of Bryce Young and Deontay Johnson. Great connection. And his draft stock starts rising. Michael Wilson, if they don't take a wide receiver, he's going to shoot through the roof. If they do, he's not going to get lower. He's already way too low. So you got to think about this kind of stuff. Think about these guys. Consider them. If you think I'm crazy, that's fine. I appreciate your time. But I do believe you need to give these guys a shot, a second look. With that said, thank you guys for everything. Drop a rating, drop a review. That stuff really motivates me. You have no idea. And I'm going to just release this right after recording. So this is probably going to come out like 2 a.m. Monday night, or Monday morning, I guess. 2 a.m. Monday morning. And I should be cooking up some other ones. I know I usually been releasing episodes about once a week. That's going to start picking up now incredibly so. I've already got 3 episodes ready to go. I just have to actually get on the mic and record them. So I have 3 episodes ready to go. We're going to have the draft. I'm going to have so much stuff to talk about after the draft. It's like Christmas to me. And then once the draft is over, and after giving you guys my rankings of with full scorecards and everything like that, prospect scores, all that stuff for the rookie wide receivers, running backs, quarterbacks, tight ends, with their landing spots and draft capital included in that. And once I start getting all that stuff pumped out and those rankings where, you know, where it really matters now that we know where they are, because rankings only mean so much before these guys are drafted, because, you know, we don't live in a perfect world. It's not just, hey, the best guys end up being the best. No, that's not how it works. Situation is a big deal. But once I get all that stuff out, I start the projections, which is my favorite thing. You guys love it. If you guys listen to this podcast, that's probably a big reason why you got here in the first place, and that is coming up very soon. So drop a rating, drop a review. Hit me up if you want to get into the Discord if you're not in it. If you are in the Discord and you have yet to purchase the draft sheets, I suggest you do so as soon as possible, because once I start pumping out those projections, I'm probably going to raise the draft price. Which, I mean, if you get it now, you get it for the whole year, and everything's continuously updated live while I do it. So you're better off getting it now instead of realizing once I'm posting some stuff like, oh man, I kind of want these. Well, it's going to cost you a little bit more because you waited. But with that said, thank you guys for listening. And until next time, go buy these guys. Peace.